Blog Talk Radio.
We choose the fear of the Lord. We choose the fear of the Lord. We choose the fear of the Lord, our God. We choose the fear of the Lord. We choose the fear of the Lord. We choose the fear of the Lord.
Go ahead and burn my body, but you cannot touch my
Lord wants a standard. Let your yea be yea and your no be no.
God, I'm excited, y'all. I tell you what, it seems like, you know, because we've been coming on so sporadic on the programs lately, you know, each time I'm away, it seems like I've been away for such a long time. As a matter of fact, I think we've only been probably averaging maybe one or two segments a month, and we just, like I told you before, we've been truly being led by the Lord. We're in the midst of coming away from Blog Talk Radio because there's so many different things that the Lord is doing with us right now, and I tell you, God is good. He's worthy. He's truly blessed. We're truly blessed to be able to have the privilege to give Him praise on today. My God, I tell you. And for some of you that don't know, I'm your host, Apostle L.A. Hill, here with Hill International Kingdom Ministries and Kingdom Voices International Internet Radio. Amen. We thank God for all of you that's joined us thus far. I tell you, we got an exciting topic today that we're going to be dealing with. I'm going to continue with this topic within the next few weeks if we get the response that I'm expecting to get after the program. But I believe that the Lord wants to begin to bring some clarity in this particular doctrine as we read it over in Hebrews chapter 6. Amen. In the book of Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1. Matter of fact, I'm going to go there. I'm going to share it real quickly. because I want to really begin to elaborate on this particular subject. For some reason, I wasn't going to teach it today. As a matter of fact, I was just going to edit the program and teach something different today or preach something different, because there's so much that the Lord has deposited into my spirit as of lately. But all this morning, I literally was like Jacob. I was wrestling with the spirit of the Lord until he just began to bless me. And he said, son, I want you to teach that. It doesn't matter how or what, I want you to deal with that subject. And so in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism and of the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do in God, if God permit. I believe that we're in a season where God is permitting us to teach these doctrines once again, because the church has sorely swayed away from some of the most foundational principles of the kingdom that govern God's church. And it's time for us to, again, to reiterate what thus says the Lord according to the word of God. We've been missing and hitting in some areas, and we have so many different teachers that are out there now. The Bible says that and so much is rattling in my spirit. I tell you, I hear you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Over in the book of Ephesians, we talked about this in one of our Wednesday night trainings. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We're in a season where there are so many different teachers out there that are proclaiming to be teaching the word of God, but what's happening is that they're tossing the children of God to and fro because of all of these different winds of doctrines that are going forth over the airwaves and by way of media and even by way of internet. There's so many different people. You know, the Apostle Paul began to deal with the Apostle Timothy and his second letter to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So we got a lot of teachers out there that are beginning to scratch the ears of God's people. Come on, somebody. They're scratching the ears of God's people because they're only going to teach what people want to hear. They're only teaching about how to get wealth. You know, there are so many different doctrines about sowing and obtaining wealth in the kingdom. I tell you, matter of fact, I'll go as far as to say almost 95% of this type of teaching is inaccurate. It's erroneous. It's ridiculous. And God is so angry. I haven't been released yet, but the Lord gave me a dream the other day, and I couldn't understand it right away after I shared it with my wife. She's not present with me right now. She's out and about with the boys in the community right now, but she will be here a little later. And you know, my wife is extremely prophetic. She's very quiet and very subtle. She don't say much, but when the Lord begins to use her in her prophetic gifting, she's very keen on certain things. And when I shared it with her, she didn't say much even at that time. But I knew by her not saying anything, because it's my wife, I know how her response is. I knew that what I was thinking that dream was not exactly what it was. And so the Lord began to reveal some other things to me. And I tell you, we're in a time now where God is very angry with us. God is very angry with the church because we're not moving into that place. We're not mobilizing into that dimension that he's called us to. Now, hear this. You know, this is something that really encouraged me, because many of you, if you're like myself, you've been on hold. God has put us in a season of holding. It's like we've been in a holding place. There's been no mobility. There's been no mobilization. There's been no there's been no wheels have been turning. And I even began to say to myself, I said, well, God, there's no action right now. There's no I don't sense the press. I don't feel the move. And the Lord says, son, I got you. I'm sifting some things away from you, from some people that attach themselves to you just to grab hold to what you got. Watch this. The Lord said that there were so many people that had began to attach, and I'm not the other only leader that's probably experienced this, but there were so many people that began to draw from the anointing that was on my life. God had to literally shut me down and get me to a place of rest in him so that I can be infused with more revelation, so that he could take me to a place of prayer and intercession and fellowship and begin to understand some greater depths that concern his resurrection and suffering as it obtains to the kingdom. See, we teach religion when it comes to how Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. We'll talk about some of this because we're going to take a kingdom approach as to what it pertains to after death. Then what today? As we're going to deal with the doctrine of the resurrection of what we just read over and the doctrine concerning resurrection. As it talks about in Hebrews chapter 6, but the Lord really encouraged me when he said I had to pull you back and put you here so that I can pour more into you, because I spoke to them and told them to connect with you, but they came in an illegal manner, and they became like Ahab, and they tried to obtain neighbor's vineyard. Oh, yeah, we got some ones out there that are only interested in building their own kingdom. And so sometimes as leaders, as apostolic fathers and prophetic leaders, we need to begin to understand the ones that God has called us to, or the ones that he's called to us, and how we deal with them, what we pour into their lives, and how we fellowship with them. Because there are some that will come that are only interested in obtaining wealth that is not of God. Look at what happened to Judas. When Judas connected himself to Christ, Christ called him as a disciple, and then he was ordained as an apostle, and then Judas began to be interested in building his own kingdom, just like Ahab. Oh, yeah, yeah. He you can see it in the Word, because around the time when Lazarus was raised from the dead, you can see where there was a sense of greed that was upon Judas's life when he noticed that they took some very rich ointment and began to anoint the feet of Jesus with. And he said, oh, wait a minute. Come on, that's something wrong. Yeah, that costs too much money. We could take this back and get some money for it. And you begin to see where Judas began to acquire the idea of wanting to obtain riches that was not his, or that was not of God. And so we have leaders out there now that are only interested in obtaining riches that will enhance them, that will bring them before people, so that people can see them in the open, they can see them on the platform, and people don't see Jesus anymore, but they only see these well-known names in the kingdom. Amen. So we have to be cautious that when we're pouring into individuals' lives, is that these are the ones that God has ordained us to pour into. Now, that's not to say that you won't be betrayed, because some of you, as leaders, you'll know that as being a father of the gospel, that you're going to have sons and daughters that will betray you. They will betray you all day long. They're only on a mission to get what they can get out of you. Amen. So we have to be careful that we're not we're sure of what God is doing, and that we're sure of those that are around us, and that we have intercessors that can pray with us, that can pray for us, and that can identify these things as watchmen on the wall. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to play another song. Amen. I'm going to come back in prayer. Amen. And then we're going to get right into the Word of God today. I believe you're going to be blessed. Amen. We're gonna. I'm actually gonna be teaching from a book by an author. His name is James Lee Beall. That's B-E-A-L-L. James Lee Beall is a pastor of Bethesda Christian Church in Sterling Heights, Michigan. This book that he's written is really awesome. It not only covers what we're going to be teaching today, but it covers repentance from dead works, faith toward God, the doctrines of baptisms, laying on of hands, and eternal judgment, as well as the resurrection of the dead. So we're going to be dealing with that today, the resurrection of the dead. I've actually taught from this book before. I really don't, as a leader, I really don't care too much to teach from books. Amen. But there are so many anointed leaders out there that have that God has poured information into, and that He's anointed to be able to teach from perspectives that can govern the kingdom. I believe that even as elders and leaders, that we're still able to draw from men and women of God that God has used to bring information into the earth. The Bible tells us that God will reveal His mysteries to His holy apostles and prophets, and I believe that James Lee Beall was an apostle of God, amen, that God has used to pour information into the earth, because there was mysteries that were revealed that are contained in these foundational principles that He teach from, and I believe that God used Him in such a way to release this information. So we're going to be teaching from that today, amen. I believe God's going to really touch. Amen, and even from some of my own experiences, I'll share as we begin to teach, and we're just going to glorify the name of the Lord today and lift Him up in such a way, amen. So we'll praise God, amen. I'm going to come back with another song here. This is Rick Pino and Dutch Sheets, and I'm pretty sure you'll be blessed by this song. God bless.
Father, we thank You for Your Word. Your Word says that the earth will be full with the knowledge of God's glory as the water covers the sea. So Lord, we give You an invitation right now. We say, invade the earth.
Oh,
invade the earth. Revival. We declare that Afghanistan will be saved.
Oh!
We declare in the Middle East of God, Indonesia will be saved.
Oh!
Revival in China.
Oh!
Revival in Pakistan. Revival in Indonesia.
Oh
God, a 10-foot window, we cry out of God for an outpouring of Your Spirit in the name of Jesus. We declare the dominion mandate of God. We give You an invitation for a visitation. Oh God, let the ministry of the apostle come forth. Let the ministry of the prophet come forth. Let the ministry of the enablers come forth. Let the ministry of God, of the intercessors, come forth. Oh God, we declare right now a highway between the heavens and the earth, and that the angel of the Lord, the Lord is coming. By the force of hell will be released. We say revival. Demonstration of signs and wonders. Let the blind man see. Let the deaf men hear. Let the lame walk. and let the dead be raised from the dead. And right now we declare an outpouring of visitation with signs and wonders and miracles. And we declare a tangible manifestation of God's glory from the north to the south, from the east to the west of the universe. We call forth the ministry.
Sin revival. I don't know if y'all ever, if y'all keep up with the Elijah List or the Chicago Prophetic Voices or any of those particular networks or websites. But there was a prophetic word that came forth that that there was revival that was beginning to move upon the interstates of America. Some of the main interstates now. If any of you are familiar with in our area in the Chicagoland, Northwest Indiana, the main interstates that flow through here are 80, 94, and also 90. Matter of fact, 90 is a toll road here, but 90 goes all the way into Pennsylvania and all the way up into New Jersey and New York. Amen. And also travels as far as through. I want to say as far as by way of Wisconsin and up through Minnesota and even through along the Canada borderline, amen, as well as 8094, all of that goes all the way through to the West Coast and all the way through even through the East. These are major highways. And then we have I-65, which goes all the way down to Mobile, Alabama. I've actually had the opportunity to travel that entire interstate by way of driving. Glory to God. From beginning to end, it begins in Gary and it ends in Mobile, Alabama. And I tell you, it's really a stretch. And then we have some of the other major highways that are traveling through the South, like Route 10. And but you have all of these different means of highways that was being revealed, that God was beginning to release revival along the major highways. So get ready, amen, if you're a city that is by a major highway, because revival is coming to your city. God is getting ready to empower the second regiment, the second class, amen. Those ones that's been up before you, that you know by name as household names in the faith, God is now beginning to release the second regiment or the second line of the second phase of his kingdom leadership, and revival is getting ready to stir in the midst of those leaders that God has raised up, and he's prepared for such a time as this. We're in such an economical shakedown in our country right now that the Lord is even going to begin to raise up those that will preach the acceptable year of the Lord, that will begin to prophesy debt cancellation across our land. Many people are still on the cusp of foreclosures in their home, but because the man or woman of God begins to show up and begins to prophesy to that particular region or to that particular area, God is going to begin to stir their faith. And there's going to be such an igniting of fire in that area that it's going to stir people. Those particular leaders are going to be like catalysts in those regions. and it's going to stir people to move forward, to step out on faith, and to begin to press toward that thing that God has called them to do. Glory to God. See, I'm excited about what God is doing. I don't know about y'all. I believe the Lord is getting ready to bless us. Amen. God is getting ready to pour out His Spirit upon us. As a matter of fact, we even acknowledge You today, Lord, as today being Pentecost Sunday. And Father God, as we reach forth our hands into the heavens from down here in the earth, God, we declare, we decree, Father, that we receive the anointing fire of God upon our lives, God. We receive the fire of the Holy Ghost, God. We thank You right now, Father, for stirring us up in our spirit, God, for pouring out Your Spirit upon our flesh, God, for taking us to new heights and new depths and new levels in the Spirit, God. Oh, God, we thank You right now for moving now, Father. For everything, Father, that the enemy has stole from us, God, we pray now that as Your Holy Spirit begins to pour out upon our flesh, God, that You cause us to be able to recover all, Father. We recover everything that the enemy has stolen from us, God. We rebuild and we replace anything that is not like You, God, right now in the name of Jesus. But, Father, we recover everything that the enemy has stolen from us, Father. All the years that the cankerworm and the palmer worm and the caterpillar and the locust have stolen and eaten, God, we reclaim and we recover all in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We thank You right now, Father. We thank You for Your Spirit, Father. We thank You for Your we thank You for the anointing of God, Lord, that is pouring upon us, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. We thank You for the shift, God, that is in the earth, Father. Oh, Lord, we thank You right now for the signs, wonders, and miracles, Father, that shall begin to even flow over this broadcast today, God, after the preaching of the kingdom of God has gone forth, God. We thank You for the confirming of Your word with signs, wonders, and miracles, Father. We thank You for the demonstration of the kingdom today, God, in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. We bless Your name, God. We bless Your name today, Father. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Yes, God. Yes, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 I feel such a presence of the Lord here, amen. Not even just for those that are listening live, amen, but even in the archive, even in your participation through the prayer, amen, your participation through the worship and the praise, I believe that the Lord is even moving now, even for you, amen. Whether you're listening to this archive later today, sometime next week, amen, sometime next month, or even next year, amen, the anointing is still yet fresh, even in the time that you're listening to it. I believe God is releasing His sound, amen, and delivering you and setting you free from some things. Glory to God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you, this is interesting because, I took the family out. We went to the drive-in on last night, amen, and we went to see the Terminator, and everybody, if anybody ever watched the series of the Terminators, amen, we know about the prophecy with John Connor being the leader of the resistance or whatever, and it came down to a point where he didn't understand the movement of the machines, and the machines was his enemy. And all of a sudden, they came up with this technology where the sound, there was a certain sound that when the sound had turned up, it caused the enemy to become stifled. He became paralyzed and dead in his tracks. He had no more movement. There was no more mechanics operating in him, and even on when they tested it on the little machine, the littlest machine became paralyzed all of a sudden, and then when they turned it down, the enemy caught motion again. But then he said, well, you know what? I think this is an awesome tool or weapon of warfare. Let's try this sound on an even larger machine to see if it worked. Let's amplify that sound so that we can see if it's working on an even larger enemy. So later on, they go outside and they test this machine on an even larger machine, and the machine, just like the little one, began to become paralyzed, and it was a ship, and it fell completely out of the sky and crashed to the ground. I hear the Lord saying that there are some people that all you need to do is begin to release the sound of praise from your belly, to begin to sound the alarm in the spirit and begin to give God some praise for that very thing that you've been believing him for the very thing that you felt that the enemy has held up, for that very enemy that's causing mishap and confusion in your life, that is holding up your wealth, your finances, that is holding up your promotion on your job, that is holding up everything that the enemy has tried to take from you. But when you begin to release that sound, when you begin to amplify your voice and give God some praise, God is going to cause the enemy to become paralyzed over the very sound that you release out of your belly. Glory be to God. Look, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The enemy doesn't understand our weapons, but one of the very powerful weapons that you can ever use in the kingdom of God is the sound of praise. To release the sound of praise from your voice. Glory to God. When you begin to shout to the King, when you begin to lift up your hands and you begin to give God some praise, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Everything that you're believing God for will begin to bless you. Everything that you give God praise for, God will begin to release it into the earth. See, the Bible tells us that when we pray, we should have in our mind or in our hearts that we already receive what we are believing for. So that means that very thing that we're believing God for is in the realm of the spirit. It's already in eternity. It's there. See, because we live in time, our time has to catch up with eternity in order for us to receive that was already there. Y'all catch hold to that in a minute. Amen. That'll bless you. Glory to God. Everything that you already believe or that you pray for, you believe that you received it already. This is why it's important to begin to give God praise for it. Glory to God. Begin to lift up your hands and thank the Lord in advance for blessing you. Glory to God. Glory to God. And sometimes, you know what? Let me tell you something. It's not always about giving God praise for something that you want or something that you believe in. We give God praise because we love him. We give God praise because we adore him. We give God praise because we honor him and we exalt him and we lift him up because he is God and he is Lord of our life. If you know that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, I dare you to lift up your hands and give God some praise wherever you are. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father. The Bible says to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. We're going to get back into the teaching. Amen. I tell you, I feel this thing tonight or this afternoon or wherever you are listening from. And we truly, we bless the Lord. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and begin this lesson, but as I begin to hear the responses, amen, and even from some of the comments down in the room, amen, and from the comments that's left on after the show, especially for those that are listening in the archive, amen, we'll go ahead and we'll continue because there are several lessons here about the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead, amen, that we can teach from, amen. I believe every lesson is good. The entire book is good. Amen. I recommend every leader to get this book. Amen. If you're ever doing any foundational classes in your church, I recommend to teach from this. Amen. It's really a good instructional manual, as not only just a book, but a good instructional manual. amen, that really, really aligns itself with the Word of God, amen. And, you know, I'm not one to really push a lot of books, amen, and recommend them to people, amen. But anytime I see when a man or a woman of God has written something that is extremely biblical, that carries the heart of the Lord, amen, we truly want to promote that, amen, and bless the people of God with the information that God has used, amen, by way of pouring into those vessels, amen. Because we got to realize that that we're not the only ones that God has called forth, amen. You know, when Elijah thought that he was the only one that was out there, that he was the only prophet that was left, the Lord reiterated to him that there were 7,000 more. Amen. So when we start thinking that we're the only ones, amen, we get into error and we miss God, amen, and we miss the purpose and the plans of God for our lives. There are others that God has anointed out there and equipped to do the work, amen, and that can bless the people just as well as we can, amen. And I believe that James Bill, amen, is an awesome man of God, and we're gonna teach from the information that the Lord poured into him. Amen, and bless the people of God today. Glory to God. Amen. So let's get to the scriptures. Amen. I want to dive right into the Word. I love the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God is truly a blessing in my life. Amen. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. And when the more of the Word of God that we get into our spirit, I want to say the more powerful our faith becomes. Our faith begins to stretch. It begins to grow. Amen. It begins to build up. Amen. So let's go to the Word of the Lord. Amen. Let's begin according to the lesson. We're going to begin at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Amen. And we're going to start at verse 16, and we're going to read right into chapter 5, verse 8. Amen. So I want to read this because, again, I love the Word of God. I love to read the Word. I love to teach the Word. I love to study the Word of God. Amen. The Bible says for us to study, to show ourselves approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God. I mean, which means that some of us can wrongly divide it. So today, Father God, we pray now in the name of Jesus that as the Word of God is going forth, Father, that we rightly divide every truth, Father. We rebuke the spirit of error today, God. We come against any erroneous teaching, God. We rebuke everything that is not like you, Father. We come against spirits of backlash and retaliation. And we thank you now, Father, for the Word of the Lord that shall go forth, Father, the Word of God that shall increase our faith, the Word of God that shall stretch us and that shall take us into the next dimension of your kingdom, God, that shall bless us, Father. And, Father, even the word that shall be confirmed, Father, through signs, wonders, and miracles. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, amen, let's begin at verse 16, amen. And it reads, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Chapter 5, it reads, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in his tabernacle, or in this tabernacle, do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are not home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and will rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, amen, we'll stop right there at verse 8. So let's look at this in the book that we're going to be teaching from today, again, by James Lee Bell. We're dealing with the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead. Amen. And we're at the if y'all have this book, amen, it's titled Laying the Foundation, Achieving Christian Maturity. One of the things that we reiterate so much with many of our leaders, especially, as well as our laymen, amen, or our new converts in our ministry, is that they are matured by the Word of God when it is being taught. We recommend always, especially for new converts, amen, that they attend some of our foundational classes and that they get this type of teaching. Amen. So I always felt led, amen, to do this on Blog Talk because I believe there are a lot of leaders, especially, that are out there that have never had any foundational teaching. And this is why you find so much unbalance in the kingdom with many things that are being taught. So many people are being tossed to and fro. So let's look at the Word of God here as it pertains to this lesson. What is death? What is death? Let's look at this. Death is the separation of man's soul and spirit from his body and the entrance into eternity. The most common Greek word for death or for death is thanatos, which means decease, the termination of earthly existence, the deprivation of all that makes life on earth possible. Death involves three important changes. So here, if you all are taking notes, if you don't have the book, this is very important. I want to recommend that you write this down. Number one is the suspension of personal union between the physical body and the soul and spirit. I'll say that again. The suspension of personal union between the physical body and the soul and spirit. Let's flip over to the Word of God. Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes. I'm gonna go through these scriptures today because I don't believe that we would even as authors would just write scriptures in there and not charge the people to go to them and to read it. Again, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. And it reads, and you know, Ecclesiastes says quite a bit about death. A matter of fact, I'm not sure if we'll keep going here. Let's just go here. 6 and 7. It says, or ever the silver cord be loose, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. So there's one thing that happens when death occurs. Our spirit returns to God as he gave it. You know, it's interesting when you read the Word of God, and I won't go too much into depth with this, but when Adam was created, the Bible says that he breathed into his nostrils. He gave him life. He imparted spirit into him. Amen. So oftentimes what happens during death, our spirit man returns back to God. We'll talk about that some more in depth here. Look at this. The return of the body's chemical elements to dust, decay, or corruption. The return of the body's chemical elements to dust, which means decay or corruption. In Genesis 3:19, it says, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So the Lord already, even from the beginning of the time, with man, he begins to tell us exactly what's going to happen with our bodies. Our body is going to go through a chemical change. It's going to return to the dust of the earth. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust is where we go. Number three is the entrance of the soul and spirit into a new state of existence awaiting resurrection of the body and judgment of God. So Hebrews 9 and 27, and as it is it appointed unto men once to die, but after that the judgment. So, you know, there is a consequence even after death that we face. The Bible tells us that we're going to face judgment. We're going to have to stand before the Lord one day. You know, a lot of times this is not taught in the body of Christ anymore, where it tells you, you know, I grew up in one of those old Pentecostal holiness Bible thumping churches when I was a child, and I still remember a lot of those messages that came forth across the pulpit. How when the man of God would call forth people for salvation, and he would give people an opportunity. Say, you're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised to live forever. You can die tonight, and if you die tonight, are you sure that you're gonna make it into heaven, or are you going to hell? You know, some of those fiery brimstone preachers. You know what I mean? And I tell you, there was oftentimes I would even return to church on the next Sunday and would find out that there was an individual that had passed away during the week. And that individual had an opportunity to come in and give his life to Christ, but he refused not to. So, you know, we got these situations where God is trying to get our attention in such a way where he wants us to understand what's going to happen once we leave this earthly outfit that we wear, this earthly suit that we've taken on. Amen. Let's look at some more. Number two, is the Bible the only authority concerning life after death? Oh, yes, it is. It truly is. It nevertheless, questions about what happens after death have plagued men since Abel died. Men have sought all kinds of means to find out what happens after the soul and spirit has left the body of a loved one. This has led to all kinds of superstition and magic, but definitive knowledge about life, death, and what follows death can be found only in the Bible. Let me say that again for some of those ones that come by. We got skeptics that will listen to these topics and see what we're saying as a reference to the Word of God. They said, but the definitive knowledge about life, death, and what follows death can be found only in the Bible. Jesus Christ himself is the only man to die and experience all that transpires afterward and still come back to tell us about it. This makes him the final authority. Look at this. Flip over back to the book of Revelations. That's the last chapter of the Bible. Amen. Revelation chapter 1. And we're going to read verse 18, and it reads, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Okay, we're going to continue here because there's so much that the Lord is sharing. You know, oftentimes when we refer to hell, hell can also mean Hades, the grave. Christ has the keys to that. Let's look at this. Death is not annihilation. Some teach that death means the total disintegration of all that pertains to the person. They teach that through death, the person simply ceases to exist. But neither the Old or New Testament teaches such a doctrine. The Bible emphasizes eternal continuity of the person. Resurrection is not reincarnation. Okay? I want to say that again because I'm sure that there will even be those that believe in incarnation, that believe that they might come back as a, you know, there are religions that believe this. They believe that that you should not eat the animals or kill the insects because you may come back as one of them. You might come back as a butterfly or something of that nature. Resurrection is not reincarnation. Amen. We have to understand that because, again, we do have people that believe that from other cultures and walks of life. Others teach that death is simply a process of rebirth, that we will come back in some other form. At the root of this idea, it is the anti-biblical idea of karma, which stresses the repetition of life in different forms until one soul is good enough to earn eternal rest. Yeah, this is true. This is what people teach. Such an idea is totally foreign to the grace of God. The companion teaching called transmigration of souls emphasizes that we come back in new forms many different times. The Bible stresses the importance of our God-given identity. We shall be changed to be like him, but we will be the person God always intended us to be. You know, that's interesting that James Lee Bell mentioned that, because if you flip over back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, you know, I know that this is probably going to mess with some of y'all's theology, but I want to show you something here. It says, verse 26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the earth, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So, you know, I mess with somebody's theology here. It really referenced to our original state of where God created us. The thing that God did with Adam is this is why Adam was the first man. Adam wasn't actually the first man. Wait a minute, I'm messing with somebody's theology. Adam wasn't actually the first man on the earth, but he was actually the first man with flesh on the earth. Let me keep on. I don't want to mess with y'all minds right now. I want y'all to let's stick with this doctrine, because but it's important that we get that, because God begins to form the flesh of man around Adam, which was the first man he called. Amen. Let's go here. Let's go verse the number three here, not verse three, but number three. Is there any difference in the death of the Christian and the non-Christian? That's a good question. And I like that the Apostle James Bell put that here. Is there any difference in the death of the Christian and the non-Christian? Well, yes, it is. Surely it is. Look, in order to understand the difference, we must first consider the makeup of the human being. This is defined in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Let's read that. Let's go over and read that. Genesis 2 and 7. Hallelujah. All right. Genesis 2 and 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Amen. Look at that. Watch this. God originally made man to consist of three parts, a soul, a body, and a spirit. We call this trichotomy. Man did not remain in his condition. He sinned. As a result of his sin, his spirit no longer ruled within him. Instead, his spirit and soul became mingled together. Fallen man thus became two parts of or a dichotomy. And these are some good terms that are being used here. This is why unregenerated man is soulish and is unable to know spiritual things. You know, what's interesting about that, there are so many different scriptures that the Apostle Paul begins to declare, especially in Romans, about how your natural man can't understand the things of the Spirit. And because of being carnal, we'll talk about that a little later here. Let's finish, because I want to continue with this lesson. When man is born again, his spirit is restored to its rightful place or to its original state. Look at this. It is made alive again by the Spirit of God. Ephesians 2 and 1. Let's look at that. Let's look at that. That's a good scripture there too. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. It reads, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Okay, watch this. We are born again of the water and of the Spirit, because only that which is born of spirit is spirit. Let's go to John chapter 3. Go to the book of John chapter 3. I hope y'all write these scriptures down. If you don't have the book, John chapter 3, verses 3 through 6, it reads, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So it's our connection. I'm going to make sure I say this right. Our reconnecting with God, back to our original state, comes through our being born again by the Spirit. Yeah, we have to, because when we put on this fleshly matter, what was born of flesh became of flesh. But and because of sin, our spirit man had no more rulership over us. But until we begin to confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that is when our spirit man begins to be born by the Spirit. Here, look at this. We become a new person through the new birth, a complete person for the first time in our life. This makes a difference in what happens at the time of physical death. Surely it does. Surely it does. Yes, there's so many different scriptures. We're going to hit on those today. Watch this. The body of the believer and the unbeliever undergo the same changes in death, which means that even as an unbeliever, we're still going to return back to the earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. The chemical elements of our body will still decay or decompose or whatever the state may be. And we're going to still go through those same physical changes. But when the soul and spirit leave the body ceases to function. Decay begins. Since this part of the death follows natural law, it makes no difference what the spiritual condition of the soul was when the body died. The spirit and soul of the believer are carried into the presence of God at death. Oh, yeah. This is one of the questions many people have that are in search of that don't really understand life and death in the kingdom. The spirit and soul of the believer are carried into the presence of God at death. The difference is in what happens to the soul and the spirit. The Christian need not fear the transition from earthly existence to eternal existence. God is with him all the way. He is our guide even unto death. Paul talks about this transition as being absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Angels carry the believer's spirit and soul into God's presence to await resurrection and judgment. This place is called paradise. Okay? Now, let me continue before we start talking about some different things here. It is a place of conscious pleasure and freedom from pain. The spirit and soul of the unbeliever continue in separation from God. The unbeliever actually experiences two deaths, two distinct kinds of separation. The first death is the physical death common to all men, the separation of soul and spirit from the body. The second death is spiritual separation from God, an everlasting banishment from his presence. When physical death comes to an unbeliever, his spirit and soul leave his body and are carried to a place in the center of the earth to await the last judgment. This place is called Hades or Sheol. Ah, let's look at that again. This place is called Hades or Sheol. Hades, which is another word for hell, or another word for the grave, or again, Sheol, same thing. Let's look at this number four. How has God removed the fear of death for the Christians? Another good question. God does not want any of us who are in Christ to suffer the bondage that fear of death brings upon us. Jesus has already removed death's sting and demonstrated that the grave has no lasting victory. He has destroyed the one who for so long tormented man with threats about death, Satan himself. The writer to the Hebrew declares, let's look at this. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 2. I believe that's what I saw somebody put in the chat room a little while ago. Amen. I'm not always reading the chat room while I'm teaching, but I do try to catch glimpses of what comes up on the screen. So praise God. Hebrews chapter 2, we're going to read there. And I wanted to read verses 14 and 15. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. It says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil." Verse 15, "and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Here, let's look at this. The Apostle Paul not only had no fear of death, he actually anticipated it. His only conflict was between his desire to finish the work he knew was needed here for the church and his desire to enjoy God's unveiled presence after death. Why could Paul face death with such confidence? He knew something. Amen. Paul knew something about death. It was real to him that Jesus Christ had destroyed all the terror in death. Paul triumphantly declared. Let's look at the word what he declared. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's look at that again. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Sometimes it's good to read it, to listen to it, to hear it, to speak it, declare it. Amen. All the above. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to read verses 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 through 57. Amen. And it reads, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So there is, we got the victory already. Amen. We've overcome. Paul, the Apostle Paul, let us know we have triumphantly overcame the sting of death. Amen. Let's look. The sting of death can be removed from surviving loved ones when they come to realize that the departed one is better off now than when they went on earth. We do not sorrow as those who have no hope. We can experience the normal process of grief which comes to us because we have lost someone precious to us. But we have the same, we have the hope of eternal reunion. We shall one day go to one we lost if we know the same Lord. Amen. That's awesome. That is so awesome. You know, I was sharing a testimony on Facebook earlier this week with a couple of pastors, and it was in reference to Memorial Day. And one of the things that we were discussing was the who was the most significant person in your life that you would remember. And, you know, I didn't have any relatives that served in the armed forces, but I did have one that served in the spiritual armed forces, and that was my grandmother. Amen. My grandmother was a very powerful woman of God. Amen. And I'm constantly reminded, even with my mother, how their lives were much like the Apostle Timothy, who Paul begins to put Timothy in remembrance of when he talked about the gifts that were already in him. And my grandmother was very instrumental in where I am today. Amen. The impartations that I received for introducing even my mother to the things of God. Amen. And causing us to grow up in a place of worship and praise where we knew the Lord. We knew to understand that it's necessary to have a relationship with the Lord, to understand him and his resurrection and his suffering. My grandmother was one that imparted these truths into our lives. And so, you know, she passed away in 2002. And you know, rather than me miss her much at that particular moment, I knew that my grandmother had went to a better place. I knew that the Lord had his hands on her and that I would again one day see her. You know, I was able to, when she passed away in the hospital, you know, all of our family was there. I was able to say, Mother, I said, Grandmother, I'll see you one day soon, very soon. Because I knew that I would have the opportunity to see her once again. Amen. And this is why, you know, it's good, I believe, when we see on the obituaries, we see the homegoing services of a loved one that we know that truly served the Lord, someone that was really in the Lord, someone that really honors the things of God, that lived holy. The Bible says, follow peace with all men without holiness, without which holiness no man shall see the Lord. And I believe that that she was definitely one that lived holy. She walked upright before the Lord. And so I know that I'll see her again one day. Amen. You know, I get vexed, though, when I see some obituaries and I see some programs at some funerals. They know their family member lives a dogmatic life. You know good and well that Bobby or whoever the case, whoever that is, that lived when they was here on the earth, that they was no good, no earthly good. They talked about folks, they gossiped, they backbited, they stole, they murdered, they did all types of things that were not of God. They committed every work of the flesh that was possible. They was fornicators, they were adulterers, they practiced homosexuality, and then we got nerve to put on a program at the time of their funeral that this is their homegoing service. Some folks will go on and believe that they repented at the last minute. You know, I'm a finer scripture later on before we close out the segment and talk about some of those folks that like to repent at the last minute, knowing that they had all of their lives to get themselves together in the things of God and repent in Jesus' name. Here, let's look at this number four. How does the New Testament picture death? Since death is something we have not experienced yet, it is difficult to talk about it in words alone. The Holy Spirit uses many word pictures to help us see what lies ahead of us in terms of things we already do understand. Now, let's look at point A here. Death is compared to sleep. Jesus used the word sleep when he spoke of the raising of Lazarus, John 11:11. Yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did. Jesus well knew that Lazarus' actual state was one of death. He simply chose to speak in softened terms. He wanted to emphasize the fact that Lazarus would awaken. Luke, the author of Acts, uses this same idea in the writing of the stoning of the first martyr, Stephen. The record records simply, he fell asleep. And that's in Acts chapter 7, verse 60. He fell asleep. The apostle Paul, looking ahead to the sounding of the trumpet, which will awaken all who have died in Christ, also holds up the hope that some of us may never sleep at all, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. The word sleep is used many times to show us that death brings relief from care and anxiety. The cares and perplexities of this life are finished, and they are. Yes, they are. Amen. Let's look at point B here. Death is considered a departure. Paul wrote to Timothy, "The time of my departure has come," 2 Timothy 4 and 6. He used the Greek word analysis, which sounds very much like our English word analysis. It means to cut loose, to free someone from chains, to break camp, to raise anchor, or to dissolve a substance into its elements. Paul was really saying, I am ready to cut the rope that ties me to this life. I am pulling up anchor in order to sail into a bigger world. Paul rejoiced that his moorings were about to be loose. He had fought a good fight of faith while living upon this earth. He was ready for something better. Yes, Lord, he was. Glory to God. We got something to look forward to, y'all. Although, you know, many of us are like Paul. You know, I'll tell anyone in a minute, it's not my time yet. I'm not ready to be released from the earth because I know that God still has a greater work for me to do yet. So it's not time for me to depart from this world. So in that particular idea that I share, you know, I know that one day I'll have the opportunity, like Paul, to thank God in the fact that I've done a good work. I fought the good fight of faith, and I'm ready to be received of the Lord. You know, all of us probably want to hear the Lord tell us that, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. We all want to hear that one day. But in order for you to hear that, you have to know for a surety, you have to be confident in knowing that you've done all that you were supposed to do while healing here on the earth. Look at this. Death is really an exodus. When the children of Israel left Egypt, they left a land of bondage and sorrow for something better. The only problem was that they did not know exactly what details this would involve. They had to trust the God who was leading them out, that he would also lead them into their inheritance. Peter was thinking of the similarities we face when called to leave this world and enter God's internal provisions for us. We face uncertainty as to detail, but we know the character of our God. Peter wrote, look at this. Let's go to the book of Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. Let's go there. Let's read some more word here. 2 Peter. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 15. And it reads, "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance." See, Peter knew he would be leaving his earthly body behind very soon, but he was expectant. God had something wonderful planned for him at the end of his journey through death. Let's look at the point D. Death is putting off the tabernacle. Here, let's look at, let's go up one verse. It's 2 Peter verse 1, 14. Look at this one. It says, knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. If we use tense more often, this would readily bring something to mind. Paul and Peter both speak of this same idea. They will take down this earthly tent in order to receive a permanent dwelling place which is more suitable to their soul and spirit. Paul talks about being unclothed in order to be clothed upon with immorality. In other words, he has outgrown the need for these temporary earthly clothes and wants a more wants more suitable attire. Yes, Lord. Hey, look at this. Paul does not want to dispose of his earthly body in order to be naked. He simply wants to be ready for God's new provision. Death is going to be Abraham's bosom. Look at this one. This was a similar term of endearment to the Jews of Jesus' time. It spoke not only of the rest, but of family belonging. This term referred to the condition of the righteous after death. Abraham was the founder of the Jewish nation, their father. To lie in one's bosom referred to a custom at the time of reclining on couches to eat, propped up by one arm. Those closest to the host were considered impositions of honor, a place reserved only for special friends. To be in Abraham's bosom spoke of honor, of fellowship, and of rest, enjoying a closeness to all who had preceded one in death. Okay, so let's look at this again. Let's go on to point six, because I'm gonna begin to wrap this up, amen. And I'll open up the lines, amen, for any questions that anyone may have or any concerns, amen, on the lesson. I tell you, I believe this is truly awesome, and I believe God is really blessing today by way of this. Point number six: does a method of burial in any way affect resurrection? No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. What happens to the physical body in no way determines what happens to the soul and spirit. The decisions which make a difference here are made in this life. Are we in Christ or not? That's just the bottom line right there. Are we in Christ or not? Regardless of how we dispose of the corpse, it will sooner or later decay and return to its original components. Corruption is a part of the sentence of death, which was passed on to mankind through Adam. The Lord God told Adam and Eve, "Ye are dust, and to dust shall you return." Genesis 3:19. After death, the body dissolves into the chemical elements of which it is composed by a natural process. These elements are absorbed into the earth. However, the miracle of resurrection is that God, through the word of his power, can raise the original person even after such total disintegration. Cremation, the burning of the corpse, is simply a speeding up of this process of decomposition. The Bible does not prohibit cremation. It does give countless examples of burial. It does not matter whether the body goes into dissolution in low gear or high gear. And anthropologists have classified a number of ways various tribes and groups dispose of their dead. Burial was the common method used in Bible terms, but this choice is evidently a matter of Christian liberty. So that right there, that concludes the first part. Amen. The second one will, topic for the resurrection of the dead is, will I still be me? So we'll definitely bring that back next week. I'll edit the next program because there was a program that I was going to do called Understanding Long Suffering. But we continue on in the doctrine of the resurrection of dead. Amen. If anyone's interested, I'll continue with that as the Lord will lead. I believe it definitely will bless you. Amen. And these are some awesome teachings again. And truly, I believe God is bringing clarity back to the body of Christ, and he's revealing the mysteries of the kingdom, amen, and he's moving us into the direction where we're able to advance the kingdom of God. We forcefully advance the kingdom of God, amen, so that we don't be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Praise God. Amen. So I thank God, amen. We're about, let's see, 39 minutes remaining in the program. I do want to open up the lines, and we're gonna open it up for questions, for prayer. Amen. If you know anybody that needs prayer today, let me share this with you because the Holy Spirit dealt with my heart before I came on the radio program today. If you want to stand in the gap today for someone in prayer, that's fine. But what I want you to do, if you're listening live, is get on the phone and call them. We want to pray for them. We want to touch and agree with them and believe God for them in prayer. Let's connect them with the anointing that is flowing by way of these airwaves and really believe God for their hearts and for their souls today. Amen. So I want to go ahead and play another song here. Let me find something here that will bless us. Glory to God. And we're going to come right back, amen, for prayer. Glory to God.
My comfort, my share. God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I see you in the chat room. I'm trying to catch up with some of the stuff that's being written down there between Dr. G and one in Shalom. And it looks like there is it's a debate. You know, I don't really get off into contentions, but it looks healthy. It looks good. There's some good points being made there. Amen. Those are awesome. There's some awesome points being made. One of the things that I personally believe that the Lord wants us to understand is that when we do pass away, let's look at some things here first. You know, I don't know if any of you ever hear a lot of the testimonies that go forth that reference to an individual. They may have testified that they left their body, and you know, there's even some YouTube programs and as well as some videotapes that are out there how individuals have passed away and they went to heaven, and they were there for probably 3 days, and they got to see parts of heaven, and then it was an angel of the Lord that even took them down into hell, and they saw parts of hell, and then they returned back to their body. Someone prayed and they were resurrected from the dead. We have blood after death. That's interesting that you said that, Dr. G. That comes to mind when Jesus was resurrected. I'm going to find a scripture here in just a minute. When Jesus was resurrected, he commanded his disciples or the apostles not to touch him because his body had not been yet glorified, and it mentions that he was just flesh and bones. I want to read that scripture. I'm gonna find it there in just a minute. But again, those are some interesting points that you both are making down there, and that's why it's so good to have clarity in the Word of God. Yes. Yeah, I'm gonna find it here in just a minute. I'm gonna actually probably play another song and come back to it. But if there was anyone that needed prayer, amen, that wanted to chime in, I'm gonna open up the lines for you. God bless you. Caller from area code 313. It looks like Detroit, Michigan. Caller from 760. Pastor Variance, call from 678, and Kingdom Blazer got you all on the line. God bless you. Amen. How is everyone today?
Good, thank you. Amen.
God bless. Amen. Amen. Did anyone have any questions about today's teaching? I know some of you came in a little late. Amen. But is there anyone that needed prayer today? Right, when everybody speak at one time, glory to God. Amen. Well, I'm going to play another song while everybody is considering what to say, and I'm going to look up a few scriptures here in just a minute. Amen. Praise God, praise God. Well, this is what I want to share in reference to what I was reading down in the chat room thus far. Like I said, I believe all of you made some really good points. Dr. G, you certainly were correct. As a matter of fact, you know, one thing about the King James Version, even the New King James Version, there are areas in the scriptures where that you really have to pay close attention to. Now, honestly, I believe that the King James Version is probably the closest interpretation of its original Greek and Hebrew that you can get. Now, here's the thing. The scriptures do show in King James where they did handle Jesus. Now, as far as from with the lesson that I just taught today, I think what we've done is we got a little ahead of ourselves, because we haven't really got that far into the lesson about the resurrection part itself, so to speak. Now, if you look carefully in the book of John, chapter 20, if you read further into the chapter past John 20:17, you go down to verse 24. It says, "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and then he says, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And then verse 26 says, And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said," now see, you know, this is another thing, you have to look at the word of God clearly here, because obviously something took place when it says, and you can read the other gospels, and you can kind of understand exactly what they were saying. All the apostles worded the scriptures differently, and that's why we have to be students of the word of God, so we can understand precisely what the word is saying. It says that Jesus came. He came in the room, but he didn't come through the door. The door was shut. That means he came through. He either came through the wall. He transported through a heavenly portal. Something. He ended up in the room some kind of way. And then he stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Now some of y'all will freak out if y'all saw the Lord just show up in your living room and shout out loud, "Peace be unto you." And then verse 27 says, "Then said he to Thomas," this is what he said to Thomas. He said exactly to Thomas what Thomas had told his brother and the other apostles. He says, "Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing." He told Thomas to do exactly what Thomas said he wanted to do. He said, "Come on and touch me. Come on and put your hand in my side, since you don't believe." And then Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." So, you know, that particular point right there, I just want to bring out, you know, yeah, there may be some translation flaws there, but this, the King James Version is as good as it gets in some reference to the original Greek. Now, you go over to the book of Luke, chapter 24, and if you read, where is that scripture here? Luke chapter 24 and verse 37, he says, "But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed that they had seen a spirit." They thought that they were looking at a spirit with Jesus when he came in the room. And he said unto them, "Why are you troubled, and why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself, handle me." He said right here in the scripture, he says, "Handle me, come on and touch me." He says, "Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have." Now, so the question I saw earlier was, can someone after death still have blood? But apparently here Jesus is saying he's just flesh and bones now. And he says, "And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat?" Which means he still can eat. He still had flesh and bones. This is after he's resurrected from the dead. So this is something that
you know, although we're going to get into this in the lesson as we continue, we'll continue to talk about that. But I believe that the Lord is showing us here that exactly what you both are saying, Dr. G and One in Shalom, you made some awesome points there. God bless you both. Amen. That was awesome. Amen. I love when the men of God begin to go into the Word and begin to challenge one another in the Scriptures. And that way we all get an understanding. And I tell you that God is good, and He definitely wants to bring clarity to His people. Amen. Amen. So, yeah, that was good. That was really good. I'm going to bring up some more callers here. Amen. I got everybody online. Kingdom Blazer, 678-760-313 and 34 or 304 area code. God bless you. God bless you all. Amen. I hear somebody got the speaker up in the background, so if you could turn that down, whoever's on the line, amen, we'll appreciate that. Praise God. Praise God. Did anybody have any prayer requests? Amen. Anything they want to share? We got all the callers on the line, amen, and anybody in the chat room, if you want to call in, again, it's 646-716-9487. Again, 646-716-9487.
Hello.
Praise God. God bless you. Who am I speaking with?
God bless you. This is Denise from Detroit.
God bless you, Denise. How are you?
Good. I came in a little late on the broadcast because I just got the number off of my Facebook page.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. God bless you. Amen. Well, I encourage you to go back and listen to the archive at the beginning of the program, and
okay.
You'll definitely be blessed.
Okay.
Amen. Thank you for tuning in, too. God bless you.
Thank you.
Amen. Anybody else?
Hello?
Praise God. 304 area code 760-678 Kingdom Blazer. Is that Devon? God bless you, Devon.
God bless you, Apostle. How are you today?
Good, good. Praise God. Good to hear from you.
I was really blessed by your word today. I'm looking forward to the second part next week.
Amen. I'll tell you, this is good. This is a really good lesson. As you can see, you got the men of God going in the chat room, and we praise God for them. Amen. And then there's so many more things that we're going to discuss in reference to resurrection. You know, I think I was going to share something earlier that it's in the book of Proverbs about those that like to repent at the last minute before death. You know, you'll find there's a lot of people that had an opportunity to repent, and while laying on their deathbeds, you know, after they had spent 40, 50, 60, 70 years rejecting God, and then all of a sudden they want to tell the Lord they're sorry. There is I'm going to find it here because I said I wanted to share. We still got about 14 minutes remaining in the program, so if anyone else wanted to jump in there, chime in. I really want to hear from Dr. G and One in Shalom. You guys really blessed me today with all of the comments that was made in the room. If you guys are online, go ahead and speak up. Praise God.
Well, this is Dr. G on here.
God bless you, Dr. G. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, good. Amen. I'll let you go ahead and speak because you said some awesome things down in there. You definitely was on point with what you said, and would certainly appreciate the comments that you made.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I was just commenting based on, I wrote a book. My last book I just wrote was The Resurrection of the Dead. And I've been dealing with kind of what you were touching on is life after death. What we have to look forward to and where we're headed, you know. So you're touching on quite a bit in that area that I covered. So I thank God for that.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, you guys made some very rich and comments down there. One in Shalom did as well. That was awesome.
Yeah.
It's been good in the chat room.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I saw even Minister Larkin jumped in there, and he pulled out his Greek concordance. I saw the codes to go through and everything. I said, yeah, these brothers is on it.
Well, it's hard because I don't rely too much. I don't rely too much on the concordances that much anymore. I have the Hebrew and Greek text together for Old and New Testament. So I try to rely on strictly on the language and on the early ancient beliefs from the Tanakh as far as regarding soul, spirit, body, death, life. So I know concordances can have their problems because a lot of them are based on the word and then a commentary off the word.
Unless you
really dig into the ancient understanding from the Jewish perspective of what it meant and how they believed and taught it from the scriptures, then it kind of sheds light in what we look at today as far as our commentaries.
Amen. That is so true. That's so true. I know I oftentimes like to refer to the original languages from the scriptures too, as well, especially if there's a scripture that kind of, you know, toils with the interpretation a tad bit. You know, a lot of the awesome teaching that's out there right now wouldn't be where it is if we didn't actually go back to its original source.
Correct.
And that's good that we're able to go and still search the Word of God in its original language. And be able to teach from it, learn from it, and especially again rely on it as it being the final authority. Because
right.
the interpretation in the English language, especially in the old English language, is a little funny.
Right.
Man,
and that's the Holy Spirit. Yeah, and that's like I pointed out earlier in Deuteronomy that even life in the English is really in the Hebrew, it's nefesh, it's soul. So when it says, you know, our life is, our soul is in the blood. It's in the ancient Hebrew, the blood, the body, and the soul were pretty much almost considered a one unit because our life and blood were the soul. It was put in that perspective. So the only thing I had a kind of an issue with was we talk about sometimes the church talks about the spirit and soul going back to God, but you won't find in anywhere in the New Testament where the soul goes back to God. It's always connected with the body and death and the grave and the. But never going back as the spirit goes back to God.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, I mean,
a little bit
of a thing that I kind of just, you know, had out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. That's good too. As a matter of fact, because the Bible is clear when it says, I think it's in Ecclesiastes, it said the dead know not nothing. And a lot of our thought processes in our soulish realm. And so, you know, although our spirit will return back to God, that doesn't necessarily mean our minds will too. Because if our minds were, then we know what's going on.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you on that one. I know it. And Ecclesiastes dealing with the earthly ideas of death, dealing with death of the body, asleep, and like in Ecclesiastes dealing with just the earthly perspective of life and death.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, definitely.
Amen. Amen.
Great show.
Yeah, thanks. Praise God. Amen. Is there anyone else that wanted to jump in there? I mean, this has really been one of those programs, again, where it gets you thinking and it makes you want to study the Word, too, as well for yourself, because this is some rich information. And, again, this is one of those doctrines that are rarely discussed, and especially in most of our so-called Pentecostal, apostolic, prophetic churches or whatever you want to call it. They're rarely discussed. A lot of leaders assume that you already know, especially if you just started attending that ministry. You know, you may not be a new convert, but you may be new to the ministry. They'll assume that you know these things, and really, a lot of people don't know. You know, and as I said, you get so many people that come forth with during times of funerals, and they swear up and down that they baby going off to heaven, and Paul or Peter meeting them at the pearly gates and whatnot. You know, we gotta start teaching and training our people a little bit better now. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I agree. We don't have enough of the resurrection of the dead being taught at all.
Yeah.
We teach everything else.
Yeah, and you know what's so interesting is that the author of the book of Hebrews begins to stress that we needed to get away from those foundational things and move on to something else, if God permitted. But apparently God hasn't permitted us, because there's still some folks that just don't know.
I agree with you. I have questions from people dealing with some of the fundamentals of death. Like, they always, the common questions I get is, why do we need a body at the resurrection? What is that about? Why do we need that? Or What happens if we're cremated? How are we going to come back together? It's almost challenging God, and it's like these are fundamentals that we should already be establishing and grounded in understanding the resurrection of the dead and what our hope and what we look forward to in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And what we groan for, as we read in 2 Corinthians.
Amen. Amen. That is so good. That's the truth. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So did anybody else have anything? I tell you, this has been an awesome program today. Amen. We got 7 minutes remaining. And again, if anybody else wanted to call in, it's phone number 646-716-9487. Anybody have any questions, any concerns, any prayer requests that we can, that maybe we could touch and agree with you in prayer?
Apostle, this is Devon. Did you ever find that scripture in Proverbs about repenting at the last minute?
Actually, if you go to Proverbs chapter 1, it's almost like the entire chapter. As a matter of fact, I'll go ahead and read it. It's 33 scriptures, but it's awesome. You have to really listen to it carefully. It goes, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtly to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy feet from their path. For their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of thy bird, and they lay wait for their own blood, they lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets, she crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn ye at my reproof, behold, I will pour out of my spirit unto you, I will make known my words unto you, because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regardeth. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity, I will mock when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whosoever hearketh unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. So that right there just kind of tells you that those that, you know, kind of refuse the Lord, you know, especially when the Lord is, you know, you have an opportunity to be around the Word. God is giving you instruction. You're hearing sound truth and wisdom. There are a lot of people sitting in some awesome churches today. People have heard the Word of God, some rich counsel, and they've gotten advice from pastors and leaders. People have labored in prayer for them, have laid hands, have cast out devils, have really gone through the necessary things that it will take to bring them to a place of triumph and to a place of victory. And these same people will turn around tomorrow until Saturday and continue in their sin and in their iniquity and refuse to hear from God. And so the Lord is saying here in this scripture, he's like, look, you know, when you decide that you want to all of a sudden fear me,
and you want to call on my name and you want to do right, I'm going to laugh at you in your day of calamity and the time of your distress. Because you had a chance to get it right and you refused to. So the scriptures is definitely clear. You know, we have to value godly wisdom and godly counsel and those that labor in the word with us, that teach the sound doctrines that govern his kingdom. We have to adhere to that and understand what God is doing. God loves us, so he would that no man should perish. That's the word.
When I add to that, if I may?
Say what now?
Can I add to that? What a question too?
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, one thing also I think, and you're right on, is that there's two sides to this point of the Old Testament with the New, but dealing with, in Proverbs, he's right, you have, in this case, people who, you know, were rebellious against God, didn't believe God, didn't want God, but in the time of distress, considering Israel and their apostasy,
mm-hmm.
God tells them, if you call out to me, I will turn, but you deal with the New Covenant as well, and even the thieves on the cross, in the beginning of Christ going to Calvary, both these were mocking him and were telling him things, but at the end, you have the thief who turned around and said, Lord, remember me when I come into your kingdom, and his moment of faith did have it where Christ turns him and says, today you will be with me in paradise. So I think the sincerity of one's person living a life, pretending to be a Christian and living in the world is one thing, but a person who is an unbeliever and at the end, or has presented the gospel truth and sincerely in his heart repents is another. Where is it possible? I think from my point of view from the scriptures is, if a thief on the cross can hurl sightings at Jesus on the way and then turn around and repent, I think, and still be saved, that's a good strong indication that it does happen.
Amen. And that's a really good point. I really believe that too. I think that, honestly, those that don't really know him, and they're just, like you said, making mockery of him because they might be going off of what everybody else is saying. But
uh-huh.
then to actually know him, and then, you know, you play games with him.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're looking for him to come and deliver you in your time of distress. You know, how you expect God to come there and you all this time you've been rejecting him?
Exactly. And that's what the Pharisees and all of them did. They put on this show that they were godly men and righteous walking around, but behind they were in abominations and they were, you know, doing everything against God, and that's where their calamity comes.
Amen. Amen. That's it right there.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. Amen. Well, we're not streaming live anymore, so we're going to go ahead and end the program here for today. I truly thank God for all of you, all your participation. God bless you, Dr. G. Surely appreciate you as well. Amen. It's always a blessing to see you come by on Kingdom Voices. Amen. As well as One in Shalom and Minister Larkin, we thank God for all of you and those that joined us on the calls today. Truly, again, keep us in your prayers. And let me see, there was another caller. I didn't get 304 area code. God bless you.
Minister Rucker again.
God bless you, Minister. Did you have anything you wanted to share?
Yes, I have three more days to finish my master's project. Oh, I just want you to keep me lifted up in prayer. And then
Amen.
I'll be finished with my degree.
Oh, praise God. Hey, it's a done deal. I've definitely been praying for you on that. That's definitely a done deal. We bless the Lord for you. Surely proud of you in the kingdom too as well. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Anything else? Anybody else? Real quickly.
Apostle, this is Denise from Detroit again.
Uh-huh.
Can you all keep me in your prayers? I am facing eviction this week as well as repossession of my car. And just buying the spirit of poverty off of my household and lose the spirit of prosperity here. I'm a single mother of four.
Amen. Are you a part of a ministry up that way in Detroit?
Yes, I am in a church. Yes, sir.
Okay. I want to encourage you to you know, and I don't often say this, but a lot of times, and it's something that I've learned, it's to sow an unusual seed. Because sometimes even when you feel as though you've got your back against the wall,
mm-hmm.
and you're not really able to do what you need to do. And that's not to say that God's going, that God was just miraculously pull you out of this rut that you're
mm-hmm.
in. Mm-hmm. But I do want to encourage you to sow an unusual seed, something that you never sowed before, and sow it in a good ground. Sow it somewhere
okay.
where God is leading you to sow it. And hear what the Lord is saying. You know,
okay.
I ain't going to tell you to sow this amount, that amount. Just mm-hmm. be led by the Spirit. Because sometimes
yeah.
sometimes in our giving, God delivers us too as well. I totally believe in that. You know, even though we got a lot of leaders out there that's teaching these prosperity messages, I don't agree
mm-hmm.
with some of it, but I do believe in sowing in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that God moves in the area of our giving. And you know, and when you sow that seed, attach what you want God to do for you to that seed. Believe God to move on your behalf. And then, like I said, and that's not guaranteed that it's going to pull you out of a foreclosure.
Yeah.
It's not going to pull you out of repossession.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll begin to plant seed for the future, you know,
okay.
and God will continue to deliver you and bless you as well. Well, I'm still going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father,
thank you.
Lord, we bless you right now for this prayer request
yes,
for Denise, God. Lord, I pray now, God, that you begin to give her the peace of God that should surpass all of her understanding, Lord, and that you continue to bless her and to keep her, Father. You said you've never seen the righteous forsaken nor your seed begging for bread, God. And, Lord, I pray right now, Father, that you give her the wisdom and you give her the knowledge, Father, that she may obtain stability once again, God. And, Lord, that you bestow your favor upon her, Father. You said in your word that you will supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory, Father. And we know that the church of the Philippians, God, supplied the needs of Paul, Father, throughout the time of his ministry, Lord. And I pray, God, that you continue to touch her, Lord, in such a way, Father, that she's able to hear what thus saith the Lord, Father, as you continue to
yes.
instruct her and to provide her with the necessary things that she'll need in order to provide for her family and even for herself, Lord, in Jesus' name, God.
In Jesus' name.
And, Lord, I decree and I declare the favor of the Lord, Father, that shall come upon her life, Father, the blessings of the Lord that shall make her rich and add no sorrow, God. In Jesus' name we pray, and we give you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to end it right there. Denise, go ahead and feel free to email me anytime. You got my information if you saw us on Facebook. You got our information. You know, just shoot us an email, a shout out. We do a fellowship with some churches in Detroit. As a matter of fact, our network, the network that we were ordained from, was out of Detroit. And so if you feel free to go ahead and just shoot us some information, and we'll continue to pray for you, touch and agree with you as well.
Thank you. I will.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we bless your name, Father, for giving us the opportunity to minister to your people on today here on Kingdom Voices Radio, God. Father, I bless you and I thank you for Blog Talk Radio, God, that is also a vehicle and an instrument in the earth, Father, to bring your word, to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And God, I thank you that the word that's gone forth, Father, that was rich and powerful, Lord, on today, that our faith is being increased, Father. Again, your word says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And we thank you, Father, for our faith, God, abounding more and more, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you that you have touched and delivered your people on today, Father, that you showed forth your signs and wonders in the earth. And we thank you, Father, for the demonstration of the kingdom of God through your word, Lord. And I pray that every need is met, Father, and everyone that is blessed according to your word. And they're blessed in their coming in and they're blessed in their going out. For we are the heads and not the tail, and we are above and not beneath, God. In Jesus' name I pray. And Lord, I rebuke every spirit of demonic backlash and retaliation on this program and on this teaching and everyone that has participated on today in Jesus' name. Cover us with your blood, Father, and keep us in your perfect peace as we go to and fro on our jobs and by way of our lives on this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. We love you. Amen. We'll be back again on next Sunday at the same time at 3 p.m. and 4 p.m. Eastern. And that's 1 o'clock also on the West Coast. God bless you all. Amen. And until we meet again, God bless you. Amen.
Go home. Lord, kill me if I don't preach the gospel. Still in my 20s, but I die if I got it. Man, I'm already dead. Man, forget my flesh, I done been crossed over. See the full court press, I'm a full court mess. If the Lord don't use me, running from a trial, thinking everything's proven. If the cross don't move me, then I don't wanna be no more. If I ain't seeing Christ, partner, I don't wanna see no more. Rep him every day without worrying about a bruise. And I've been in China, man, I seen some real persecution. If you didn't know Christ, would your life look the same? Can they tell you value Jesus by the way you rep his name, man? What's the point of living if I'm living for myself? Lord, empty out my life before I put you on the shelf. So for God, I go hard, I don't wanna die tonight. But it's too many people living who ain't heard about the Christ. Go, go, hard, 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 go